everybody, and welcome to this week's Mostly Mets podcast. It is one of our favorite episodes every year. Our favorite guest is coming on. That's Frank Viola, of course, the former great lefty, and now the AAA pitching coach, which he's been for a few years with the New York Mets organization. We're going to talk a lot about some of the guys making an impact at the big league level this season for the Mets that went through the AAA level this year, specifically Robert Gsellman and Seth Lugo. Boy, haven't they been great for the Mets. Toby Hyde. If it wasn't for those two, who knows where the Mets would be right now.
So they deserve their own episode. These are two guys with ERAs, not just below where they were in AAA, which is understandable because Vegas is like hell for pitchers, but way below. I mean, Seth Lugo in 21 appearances in AAA over 73 innings had a 7.75 ERA. It's 2.4 in the big leagues.
Amazing.
Robert Gsellman had a 5.75 ERA in Las Vegas in 48 2/3 innings. It's 3.08 in the big leagues. I know there are problems with the ERA, blah, 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 blah. These guys are pitching out of their minds right now.
They have become, comparison here? They've become the Doc Gooden and Ron Darling.
Oh, you're fired. You're fired.
Okay, they're not quite there yet, no. But – still, making it
that's like offensive to Doc Gooden's 1985.
Okay.
Doc Gooden's first 2 years as a major league pitcher were the best two
yes.
first
right.
year
two I years. I was joking, Tony.
I know. Sorry.
A little
sorry.
Bit,
sorry.
But before
I can't
we
take a joke. We've learned something.
Yes, exactly. But before we get to Frank Viola, a quick programming note to listen to all of SMY.TV's original podcasts covering the Mets, Jets, Knicks, Giants, Rangers, Islanders. Just subscribe to the SMY.TV audio network on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast. That's the SMY.TV audio network. And please rate and review our channel. Also, definitely check out the latest edition of Inside the Park. SMY Mets field reporter Steve Gelbs takes a deep dive into the inspiring story of Mets reliever Josh Smoker, a former first-round draft pick, of course, of the Nationals. Josh battled back from multiple injuries to finally make his big league debut in August and is now in the Mets bullpen with his eyes on the postseason. A very cool story. Make sure to give that one a listen. All right, without further ado, one of our favorite guests. I know I've already said it once. I'm going to say it multiple times in this show because he really is one of my favorite people as well. It's Frank Viola, the AAA pitching coach of the New York Mets. Frank, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Excellent. It's good to have you on. You're one of our favorite guests. I'm so appreciative. I know Toby is as well, to have you on every year and give us a good chance to break down what's going on with some of the guys that are either impacting the minor league system or, in this case, guys that went through the AAA level this year that you worked with directly. And specifically, we want to talk about Robert Gsellman and Seth Lugo. And I guess we'll start at Robert Gsellman, might as well. And he has pitched just so well since coming up to the big leagues for the Mets. I think it surprised a lot of people. And now we find out that he's pitching with a torn or at least partially torn labrum in his non-pitching shoulder. Can you give us an idea of what an injury like that might do to a pitcher? Because he's clearly not showing any kind of issues in regard to the results.
Well, as far as pitching itself, it doesn't really hinder him all that much. I mean, and as you see, the results, as you just said, are taking care of themselves from that standpoint. Where it really bothers him is with the hitting aspect. Now, I'm amazed that he's gotten by as long as he has with nobody realizing he hasn't been swinging the bat for the last 3 months. You know, or the case may be, you know, he's bunted, he's able to get a sacrifice bunt down, but he's not able to swing fully, hasn't been able to swing fully, and you know, we've known that for a while, but, you know, National League Baseball is tough. It's tough to hide that, and they were able to disguise that for a period of time, which I give them kudos for. But, you know, as far as pitching itself, you see, it hasn't hindered him one bit. He's what's left. And after everything was said and done last year when we made the run for the World Series and we traded as many arms as we did, he's our number one guy now, and he's gone up there at 23 years old. He's not only proven that he belongs, but he's taken charge up there in key spots, and it's great to see.
So you had Gsellman and Lugo both have ERAs in the big leagues below where they were in AAA, which says something about pitching in Vegas. But also maybe, I don't know, getting lucky in the spotlight. But let's talk about Gsellman. And one of the pitches that was new for him last year was the slider. What was it like working with him on that delivery and on that pitch this year?
Well, you know, First of all, I got to give kudos to who it belongs to. You know, Ron Romanek and Glenn Abbott did a great job with him, you know, from spring training on to the Double-A season before he came to Triple-A. His slider was pretty consistent when he came to Vegas. You know, the big thing with him is just finding consistency with it, just finding the arm slot, sticking to that arm slot, and continually throwing it. Now, his stuff is off the chart. I mean, this kid is, I mean, you can't be taught the sinker he's got, and then you throw in the slider, and then you throw in a curveball. And the thing that I was able to do when he got to me in AAA was work and fine-tune his changeup a little bit. So you're talking about a kid who's got a four-pitch sequence that he could throw any of those pitches at any times. You know, it's just a blessing. You know, the big thing with Robert is that he's a West Coast kid. He's a very laid-back kid, a very matter-of-fact kid. You know, and here I am, a New Yorker with a high-strung attitude, this, that, the other. It's funny how, you know, we are so night and day from each other. But the kid's like a sieve. He wants to learn. He listens to what you have to say, and he takes it and applies it. So, you know, the slider was just one pitch. Basically, you know, I go back to his age again, but he's 23 years old. He's still learning who he is, what it's all about, and he's done a wonderful, wonderful job with that. He's taken it to the big leagues and hasn't missed a beat.
Frank, one thing that stood out to me, at least last year when I looked at Gazelman's numbers in AA, was that he wasn't striking really anybody out. And now all of a sudden he goes to the big leagues and I see 21 strikeouts and 26 and a third. I mean, it's not an amazing total of strikeouts, but still much more substantial than he was on pace for when he was in the minor leagues, at least last year. Is that a matter of developing those pitches a little bit more, location? What do you think it is that's leading to more strikeouts?
Well, I think you're 100% right. It is all about that. But I mean, the big thing about Robert, he challenges hitters. He pitches to contact. He gets a lot of early pitch contact, which keeps him in the game longer. I mean, he threw five plus innings the other day against the Nationals, and he was at 77 pitches. So he pitches smart. He's crafty, but he will be able to get that strikeout when he needs that strikeout. You know, the name of the game is strike one, getting ahead, putting the ball in play. If you're able to do that in the least amount of pitches possible, the strikeouts will not come. But to answer your question, I think that with knowledge, with know-how in situations, he will be able to get those strikeouts going forward because he does have that four-pitch sequence that he can mix match and do whatever he needs with. So I think over time, he will average 7-8 strikeouts per 9 innings with no problem.
Frank, you said you worked with him more on the changeup than the slider, which seems like, you know, your kind of thing. If I had to pick one pitch that I associate with you, it's changeup development. So what did you do with Gazelman in that changeup?
Well, he had the grip. I mean, the big thing was he was squeezing the ball too tight. And what we did was we loosened the grip on the ball. It came out of his hand a lot easier. And he was able to get a little bit more contrast off his fastball. Nothing major. I mean, you got to understand something. His tools have always been there. He's so far ahead of the learning curve as far as, you know, who he is, what he's about. It's as we mentioned, that, you know, during the interview here so far, it's just fine-tuning a few things and loosening up that grip. Just made a little bit more natural movement on that changeup to go along with the sinker. So, I mean, when you're a hitter, you see this movement, you're going, oh, my God, my first instinct is it's a 94-mile-an-hour sinker, and all of a sudden it's an 85-mile-an-hour changeup. So it's just making everything look and mix and match better. But, you know, he's a fun kid to work with, because, you know, and it's going to be the same when we talk about Seth Lugo. It's always fun to work with kids who are willing to try things. And if you're willing to try things, eventually something's going to click, and when it clicks, then you take off.
I think if you would have polled most Mets fans before the season began, probably 75-80% of the real diehards definitely knew who Robert Gazelman was. They at least heard the name, that he was probably going to be the top pitching prospect or the next guy in line. If you would have asked that same group of fans, I think probably 40% or less might have known who Seth Lugo was. Nonetheless, that he could be this good. He has looked great. What is it about Seth Lugo's development that has all of a sudden lifted him, not just from a guy who could be pretty good to a guy who's been outstanding at the big league level?
I think it's a couple of things. First and foremost, Seth Lugo is a very intelligent pitcher. He's one of the few guys, and I'll state this fact, in the whole organization who could add and subtract. There's nobody who could add and subtract like he does. He could throw an 86, 87-mile-an-hour two-seam fastball, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's throwing a 97-mile-an-hour fastball by you. There's not too many guys who have that extra gear in baseball, let alone in the Mets organization. He's just got a gift of feel for pitching. His biggest problem over time has been himself. He thinks too much out there. He shakes more than anybody I've ever seen. He shakes pitches off to get to a certain pitch. And sometimes I think he outthinks himself. Since he's gotten to the big leagues, though, he's done, you know, with Travis and with Renee, he has done a lot less shaking off and has stuck with the game plan a little more. And I think that's what has made him that much more effective right now, because he's going with this first instinct. He's going with the catcher's first instinct, and they're on the same page, and they're showing the success they have. He's got a tremendous, tremendous curveball on top of being able to add and subtract on his fastball. The big thing was, in the minor leagues, especially here in Vegas, was that he showed a little hump in his curveball. And when you show a hump in a curveball, good 4A hitters see that. They either spit on it or they know what's coming. He got to the big leagues, all of a sudden that hemp's gone, he's throwing it a little harder. And then you offset that with a fastball up at the eyes, and all of a sudden now he's going, oh, my God, I don't see a hump anymore. I don't know what the heck's coming anymore. And then you mix in a changeup that he's developed and a cutter that he's worked on, and all of a sudden now he's throwing 4 pitches for strikes anytime in the count, and you see the results. I mean, he is really taking off, and, you know, you can throw that 6-6 ERA out in Vegas because, as you mentioned earlier, Vegas, it's not fair for a pitcher anywhere, anyhow, anytime. And what you need to do is you're going to give up runs. You're going to give up runs in the Pacific Coast League. What you have to do is not change who you are as a pitcher, and that's attacking the strike zone, getting ahead strike one, and that's what both Robert and Seth has done. And there's one other guy in the mix, too, that people haven't seen and they're going to, is Gabriel Ynoa. That's another one who has shined, you know, in making himself a better pitcher because of that fact.
Frank, did you know that Lugo set a record with his curveball, a couple records already?
I'm sorry?
You know that Lugo set a record with his curveball already?
No, what is that?
The highest spin rate on a curveball ever recorded by that pitch track system.
We knew going into spring training that he had that he was the highest in the Met organization. I did not know he set a record for that, but there's not too many guys in this game that can spin a curveball like he does. You know, I played with one of the best ever in Bert Blyleven, and I'd love to see what the track master would say on that one. But, yeah. but I mean, for what he has, you're exactly right. It is incredible. You know, and people say you could actually hear the spin on that. You know, I think that's a little bogus, but, you know, it is a tremendous, and that track man, it does speak volumes when you talk about that.
3,498 RPM on that curveball. So I might be crazy, but Lugo looks, I mean, he's such a better pitcher than he was in Savannah. You were in Savannah that year, right? 2013, right?
Mm-hmm. He came in when we won the Southern League when we won the Atlantic, and he made a big difference. He made a big difference.
Absolutely. He was great at it.
Two of the championship round.
Yeah, he was great in that run. And made some starts late in that season, sort of popped up after back surgery. But he's throwing a lot harder now. Is that a question of strength coming up? Because that year, that 2013 season, he was coming off of back surgery in 2012. I mean, he was like 91, 92, 89, 91, even those years, right? I mean, I'm not misremembering that, am I?
No, but he had the capability of adding. I mean, he had the capability of being able to throw 95, 96 in a key spot. And as I mentioned, not too many people have that gift. I would never have been able to do that. You know, Greg Maddux had that capability. Zach Greinke has that capability of being able to show a little bit more, add a little bit more, somehow, some way within. You know, knowing your body, good delivery, good mechanics, they all come into play. But it's a gift from God, I think, that you're able to be able to take the 91-mile-an-hour fastball and boom, before you blink, he's throwing a 96 in the key spot. Not too many people have that. He uses it very smart and wisely. But he also is crafty, and that's the name of the game. If you change speeds, I don't care if you're throwing 98, 99 like Noah throws or whoever else, you have to be able to change speeds. And if you're able to change speeds, you will be successful, especially on the big league level, because, you know, hitters are so they're creatures of habit. You're able to mix things up in the big leagues, you're going to have more success than you will in the minor leagues. Minor leagues, they don't have routines yet, hitters. They see ball, hit ball. Big leagues, they have routines, and they sometimes second-guess themselves because they are so routine-driven, and that's when good pitchers who can change speeds are so effective.
One thing that's also stood out about both these guys, Frank, and I think you mentioned it a little bit when you were talking about how laid-back Zelman is, but really in regard to both of them is they both seem really poised, at least to me. They don't seem bothered by anything that goes wrong, and not much has gone wrong at this point. But really poised on the mound as though they're veterans. Did you notice that when you had them in AAA, that really nothing fazed them at all, even when they were getting hit at the AAA level?
Absolutely. And those are the guys you know are going to make it. You hit it on the head. When you have poise, when you have command, when you have control of who you are, you're going to be successful. You're going to give yourself the best chance to be successful. And they both have that tool. They both use the tool effectively. And not one thing's fazed. And they're in a pennant race right now. And you wouldn't even know that. I mean, they've handled themselves so professionally, I give kudos to them. It's great.
If I had told you at the beginning of the year that Seth Lugo and Robert Gsellman would be important pieces of the Mets rotation in the middle of September, would you have guessed that the Mets were within a game of the playoffs?
That's a great question. And to answer your question, I would hesitate and say I don't think there's any question. I think both of their makeups were such that we all knew who have dealt with them in the minor leagues know that they have always had and always will have the capabilities to be successful as major league pitchers. So does it surprise me? No. Does it surprise me that they're doing this well? Maybe a little bit. But, as I said, you just never know. And makeup is so important. Poise is so important, as we just talked about. They've had that tool. They've always had that tool. And that's why they're doing what they're doing.
Another guy, by the way, that you, I'm sure, have had some at least impact on is Josh Smoker. We're talking about a guy, obviously, with a great story, but look at the results right now. 16 strikeouts. He's only walked 2 in 10 and a third innings. Seemed like one of the problems early on in AAA this season was that the walks were up quite a bit. He's cut down on that in the big leagues. Why do you think that is?
He realizes how good his stuff is. I mean, you mentioned his storyline is incredible, from being the first-round draft choice to the Nationals in about 2008 or so on, to going through a couple of years of independent ball to be able to have a second chance and be able to do what he's doing right now. It's incredible. But, I mean, yeah, he's the same way. He has to throw strike one. He's got an arm to die for. But he has also become a pitcher. He's had a split finger. He knows how to use that split finger. He got himself in trouble using that split finger as an off-speed pitch in Vegas because he threw it for a strike. He's got to get ahead early in the count with his fastball and use that split finger and bounce it. He's got to use it. He's so much more effective when that pitch is in the dirt because it gets a lot of chases on that pitch. The other thing he's been working on has been a cutter, which is another little bit of an off-speed pitch that will make that fastball that much more effective and a splitter that much more effective. And the thing I love is that in AAA he had some troubles getting left-hander hitters out. In the big leagues, he seems to be dominating the left-hand hitters, which is what his role needs to be. And I think that's why you see the success he has. He's going to strike people out. I mean, you just don't find left-handers who can throw 95, 96 and spot the ball like he does. And he's doing just like everybody else we talked about earlier in this conversation. He's attacking the zone, getting ahead, strike one. And when you do that, good things are going to happen.
It's hard when you look at Gsellman, because you had him in Savannah too. He was a big piece of that 2013 championship team too, if I remember right. And you talked a little bit about getting him to sort of believe in himself. Oh, I'm sorry, Gsellman came up early that year in Savannah in 2013. We only had him for a little bit in May. Sorry, my years are running together. Right? He came up for a couple starts.
I don't think looking back to it, I don't think I had him at all with Savannah. I think he was the year after me.
I just looked it up. He came up for like a couple starts early in the year before the
that's right. Yep,
before
you're
the Brooklyn
right.
season started. So,
correct.
So I don't
exactly.
I remember talking to you about it. You know, I don't think you change much because he was only up for a couple weeks. Made 5 starts in Savannah.
Correct. But, I remember him starting a game in Greenville where he you're right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So when you look at that guy who is, 3 years ago, he was 20 years old, and now Gsellman is all of, 23 and doing well in the big leagues, what is the biggest change you see in him? And I know you didn't have him that long in 2013, but you've been around him for a few years and pitchers all over the organization. What's been the real change there?
Belief in himself. I mean, the big thing about the kids of today is I believe as coaches, we sometimes see a finished product before the kids themselves see what the finished product could be. And we have more probably faith in what's ahead than they do. So when all of a sudden you say something along, maybe I'm having a side work with, say, I'll use Gsellman as an example. Maybe I'm seeing him do something on the side and go, you know what? That's what I see you taking into the game with you. And he's like, what are you talking about? well, you know, going after, spotting that ball right there, throwing the pitch right there, throwing a pitch off the plate for a purpose. I see that, but he might not see that. It's having these kids believe what you see. And when you have these kids all of a sudden realize, you know what, if Frank Viola can believe in what I'm doing, maybe I'm doing something, maybe there is something there. And all of a sudden they start believing in themselves. The job of a coach is to convince these kids without showing, without telling them, you know, they have to understand that they have a gift and they have a tremendous gift, but they have to believe in it. And if you show that belief in them before maybe they see it, maybe they're going to start believing in themselves. And next thing you know, things click. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's taking what you have and using it to the best of your ability. And to answer your question, he might not have had that experience back then. He might not have had that know-how back in the Savannah days. But those 3 years later, with the pitching coaches he's gone through, with the Mark Valdez, with the Glenn Abbott, with the Phil Regan, with the pitching coordinator like Ron Romanek, all of us believing in him, all of a sudden, one day, he's going to say, you know what? If anybody believes in me, I got something damn good here, and I'm going to take advantage of it. And then all of a sudden, it clicked.
Frank, before we let you go, and of course, we always appreciate the time, we'd be remiss if we didn't at least ask you about one of the other big stories this week. And of course, that's Wally Backman's departure from the organization. You've worked with him, obviously, the last 2 years in Vegas. You've known him, I'm sure, for many, many years. Just curious what your thoughts were when you heard that Wally was no longer going to be with the Mets.
Well, good question. Fair question. I'll put it this way. I had a wonderful 3-year run with him. I think he's a fantastic baseball man. He's wonderful with the kids. He's what we call a player's manager. He always looks out for the interests of the players. And, you know, what has happened between Wally and the Mets is, you know, that's not for me to say. I just know that he's going to, wherever he ends up, he's going to make a difference to that ball club, to that organization, and I can only wish him the best. He's done a great job as far as preparing everybody who's in the big leagues, from the players to the pitchers. He's done a great job getting them ready for the big leagues the last couple of years. That's why we made the World Series, because of Wally and, you know, Jack, the hitting coach, and hopefully with, you know, with a little credit here with myself and all the other coaches and coordinators in the organization. But, you know, there's a time people make decisions, and Wally made a decision, and hopefully it's a great decision for him, and we're going to miss him. But he's going to end up landing on his feet. He's going to do very well.
Frank, it's a pleasure as always to have you. Again, we really appreciate it. It's one of our favorite times of the year every time we get you as a guest. So thanks again for doing this.
Great talking to you guys. You guys take care.
Thanks again to the great Frank Viola. And I know I said this a couple times when he was on, Toby, he's the best. He's my favorite.
Frank is great. But I think the most revealing thing he said was, and I don't remember which question it was, but he admitted just a tiny bit of surprise. I mean, he believed that Gesellman and Lugo had the stuff to pitch in the big leagues, but let's be honest, even Frank admitted some surprise that they're pitching this well. Seth Lugo has a 2.40 ERA. Robert Gesellman has a 3.08 ERA. So, like, you know, I can get on board with, before the beginning of the season, you know, Frank said to Robert Gesellman, you know, he's been working on his confidence. But some tucked in there, he said, you know what? Yeah, I'm a little surprised by how
well. I think
you have to be, right?
That echoes the sentiment of every Met fan, including that group that I was talking about that probably didn't even know who half of them were, or both of them were, excuse me.
Yep.
But, you know, I think it's great for the Mets, obviously. My goodness, where would they be if they weren't getting these innings from these guys? I don't think anybody predicted that you would have 3 or 4 pitchers go down for big portions of the season. So they've relied on the innings of Bartolo Colon, and obviously they've gotten great performances out of Noah most of the year, but you needed those extra innings. And I think most people thought that all of the big arms had already come up to the big leagues. They were there. So who else are they going to go to? And yeah, we've seen a little bit of Rafael Montero, and my God, that for the most part has not looked great. But Gesellman, Lugo, I didn't know Lugo had this stuff. I remember asking you in a text message a few weeks ago, could he throw 94, 95? I didn't know he could throw 97.
No. Look, maybe Frank and I are, you know, we watched Seth Lugo in A-ball, and he was 89 to 91. You know, he'd reach back for 92, 93. He didn't work there. And again, Lugo missed all of 2012. So the last time I saw him on a regular basis before this year was 3 years ago, 2013. He didn't have 97. I'm sorry. And Frank said he could add to it, I guess, but he's a totally different guy now. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think I can't remember, you know, a situation with Lugo where he comes up and it just doesn't look like the stuff I remember. Maybe I'm getting old and senile, but if he had 96, 97 and showed it ever, he would not have lasted to the 34th round in the 2011 draft.
Right.
That's a top 10 round pick. You know, that's a top 3 round pick if he shows once in his college career. Guys get drafted off of less. We don't need to go through Mets draftees, but, you know, I'm going to do it anyway. Alex Panayiotis, right? I mean, you know, he's a lefty. But still, I mean, guys get drafted in the top 6 rounds with way less stuff.
Right.
Then it's just crazy.
Well, you remember our surprise from a couple of years ago when we saw Hansel Robles had gone from a 91-ish kind of guy to becoming a reliever, and then he's hitting 96, 97?
Right. I saw Hansel in the bullpen. I saw him even in Brooklyn, and he could get to 93 as a starter. So if you're getting to 93 as a starter, fine. I can give you 2 years and throw you in the bullpen. And I'll give you 94, 95, 96. Some guys can do that. Because as a starter, he was really pacing himself. The thing with Lugo is that he was working out of the bullpen at times in his minor league career. And he was working as a starter. It's totally different.
And in some ways,
in 2014 in St. Lucie, he was thrown in the bullpen. If the Mets thought he was a big league arm, they just don't do that.
Right.
Right.
He came on late.
It's like TJ Rivera. TJ Rivera kept being the utility guy, and for 4 years in a row, he hit his way into the lineup because they started him on the bench behind bigger names, whether it's Jeffrey Marte or Wilmer Flores or, you know, Gavin Cecchini.
Right. They just didn't know.
Or Phillip Evans, right? These were guys that TJ Rivera sat behind, he hit his way into the lineup. Lugo is basically that story too. 2014, after 5 good starts in Savannah in 2013, he went to St. Lucie and he made 27 appearances, and 23 of those were in relief. He was basically a reliever. He made 4 spot starts. And it was only last year in Binghamton, when they just didn't have any arms left, that they put him back as a starter.
Yeah.
This is, honestly, I don't know if I've read enough stories about Lugo. This is a pretty crazy story.
Yeah, and it's a great story, and it's the kind of stuff that you root for, right? You root for the guys like TJ Rivera, Seth Lugo, that come out of nowhere. Nobody expects them to even make the major leagues, and now they're impacting a pennant race. I mean, that's really – it's great. It's fun. I root for them. I hope the best for them, and my goodness, as a fan – it's great to see that they're able to contribute, because this team certainly needed all of them, all the young guys that are making an impact on this pennant race. They've been fantastic.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, can Lugo keep this up? Probably not. You know, this is a guy who his home run per nine inning rate is half of what it was in AAA.
Yeah. He's developed late. Who knows?
Well, he's also pitching in Vegas, but it's back down to where it was in AA. You know, so this is. You just can't say enough about what those two have meant to this team in August and September. And, you know, the other thing that we learned from Frank is that Frank Viola should have the Frank Viola changeup school. I don't know if we've talked about this before. You know, as much as the Dan Worth and slider has a name, you know, among Mets fans. And
yeah, and his own show. He can also do that.
Yeah, Frank Viola should have a show. Right. You know, I listen to Frank Viola talk about pitching all the time. But the Frank Viola changeup is real, too.
It really is. All right. Well, that should just about do it for us this week. Frank was fantastic. Awesome talking about these young studs that are in the rotation now. I'm calling them young studs. I don't know if they will be down the road. But at least for now, they look like young studs.
The 2016 studs. Let's not go too far.
Right, exactly. At least for now, it's been a lot of fun to watch. Hey, fun episode. And again, the Mets right now, as we recorded this show, are in the wild card race. Not only that, but they're in wild card position. So let's hope that by next week, they're still there. They certainly have a favorable schedule down the stretch. So a lot of fun. Anyway, thanks to everybody back in the studio. Thanks, Toby. That was a lot of fun with you as well. And thanks to Frank Viola, as always. This has been the Mostly Mets Podcast.
This has been the Mostly Mets Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.